taken under advisement. And we move to the next case this morning, which is Nita Pereira versus Holder.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Roy L. F. Berg, and I represent the petitioner in this next matter before you, Raul Antia Pereira. Your Honors, the respondent has conceded, as he must, for the law clearly provides, that the government had the burden in this case to first establish alienage. Quite simply, Your Honors, the government failed. It did not meet its burden. The immigration judge, therefore, erred in concluding that the government had, and the Board of Immigration Appeals erred as well as a matter of law in not reversing that decision. The government's sole piece of evidence, Your Honors, in this case, to try to meet its burden, was one sentence on one piece of paper. That allegation that allegedly my client, while unrepresented and in immigration custody, admitted that he was not a citizen or national of the United States. That allegation came in on a form I-213 that was not certified, not sworn to, not notarized, not testified to. No foundation was laid for it. The government of this case, Your Honor, also presented three separate documents, one from the FBI, two from the Chicago Police Department, which, in the words of Board Member Grant, indicated the petitioner was born in Puerto Rico. We requested an opportunity to cross-examine the maker of the I-213, Yesenia Ochoa. In fact, Judge Vinokur gave the government an opportunity to bring its witnesses. It did not do so. The government presented no witnesses whatsoever. The government had the burden to first establish alienage. It failed. It presented no witnesses, nor any documents other than the I-213, to establish that the petitioner was not a citizen or national of the United States. There was nothing presented from the State Department, nothing from the Colombian government. There was no Colombian birth certificate or passport indicating that he was a Colombian citizen. In addition to the three documents presented by the government which indicate place of birth as Puerto Rico, also in this record are the birth certificates of Mr. Antia's son and daughter, John and Jessica, which both indicate that the petitioner, was born in Puerto Rico. Also in the record are two tourist cards.
Shouldn't we consider his unwillingness to testify that he was not from Colombia and his refusal to indicate his birthplace on the application for cancellation of removal as an indication that he is not, in fact, from Puerto Rico?
First, as to the refusal to testify, it is our position that the government first had to establish alienage, and they did not do so. Second, the case law provides that information given on an application or not given on an application cannot be used to establish alienage.
It cannot be established to?
Establish deportability or alienage. So you do not get the immigration courts do not get to the question of relief until alienage has been established or conceded or admitted.
Well, I mean, did he at any point in time explain why he didn't merely obtain an official copy of his birth certificate from Puerto Rico? I mean, couldn't the IJ properly consider his failure to do so in determining whether he has cast doubt on the I-213?
Judge Roeder, once again, I look to the regulation that clearly states the government must first establish alienage. And they did not do so here. We also requested an opportunity to cross-examine the maker of the I-213. That request was denied. The fact that my client exercised his right to remain silent, I would submit, should not be used against him and should not be used to help the government first establish alienage.
Aren't they establishing alienage through this I-213? You acknowledge that's where their case comes from.
Their whole case is one sentence in that.
Right. Okay, and so the law then says there's the Baradas case that says an I-213 is a presumptively reliable document. And and it says absent an indication that it contains information is manifestly incorrect or is obtained by duress. And I guess your argument is that the Puerto Rico would make it incorrect, although maybe not manifestly. All that shows is that there's a dispute there. Mm-hmm. And obtained by duress, you would say maybe there's an inference of duress from the fact that he was unrepresented and maybe not proficient in the language. But again, that seems like a fact question more than an obvious duress or obvious manifestly incorrect. Then I suppose that you can go to the Gutierrez-Burden case, where, and this is Judge Robner's point about permissible negative inferences drawn from a refusal to answer a question, I suppose the question really is, isn't there enough from the I-213 at least to force your client off the dime of keeping completely quiet because the 213 is presumptively reliable?
Your Honor, first as to Baradas. Baradas dealt with a lawful permanent resident who was charged with smuggling someone into the United States. And the court looked to the record as a whole. There was also, he was charged criminally with that act, and I believe convicted as well. As to Gutierrez, I was the attorney in that case. While we did not seek to question the maker of the I-213, we sought to suppress that I-213, and that request was denied. In Pujova and in Malawi, this court has held that a respondent in removal proceedings has the right to cross-examine the maker of a document or cross-examine witnesses against it.
Isn't it, say, the maker or the declarant? And isn't the declarant, in this case, your client?
I would believe the maker of the I-213 is Yesenia Ochoa.
Okay, is she the declarant also, or is your client the declarant?
She is saying that my client said this while he was in custody and unrepresented.
Right, and
so
I guess
she would be the declarant, would be my understanding of that.
Okay.
So the maker of, so the witness against my client, the witness against my client in this case is Yesenia Ochoa, the person who completed the I-213.
Now, as you know, these cases skip the district court, so I'm a little out of my mainstream here, but it seems to me that under the ordinary rules of evidence, if you're the defendant and someone says you said something, it's admissible as a statement of a party opponent. I don't know whether that's the rules that apply in the immigration context, and I'm not sure you guys addressed that, but I guess my question is, I suppose if that's true, then it's a little different situation than someone who, if the immigration judge relying on somebody else said your client was from Colombia, that's one thing, but what we have here is an I-213 says your client said he was from Colombia.
An agent said my client said he was from Colombia.
Right. Okay.
Now, and it doesn't really say that. It says, if you look at the I-213, I believe it's at page 412, correct? It said in the middle there, subject voluntarily admitted he is not a citizen or national of the United States, period. Then it says subject is a native and citizen of Colombia. It doesn't say he said he was. It reaches a conclusion. And as I said, then the government presented these other documents, something from the FBI, something from the two records from Chicago Police Department saying place of birth Puerto Rico.
So is it your position? Mm-hmm. Did I interrupt you just then?
That's quite right.
Because I don't mean to.
That's quite right. I always enjoy answering or trying to answer your questions.
No, you don't.
I'm going to do my best.
And I don't blame you. Is it your position that the police and FBI records are alone enough to render the I-213, I-213 information unreliable?
I think it's, Your Honor, yes, and I think it's enough that it creates a doubt here that would give it, that we should have had an opportunity to cross-examine the maker of that document. It's in Pujova, this court held that not all I-213s are created equal, and in fact, in that case, held the I-213 to be unreliable hearsay.
Well, is there any indication that the information in those reports was independently verified?
In Pujova? Or
no, in our case.
The reports of the FBI?
And the police.
Mm-hmm. Well, they were presented as proof of prior acts that my client had taken part in, client arrests and convictions. So the government was presenting them as evidence. Both of them, all three of those documents, in the words of Board Member Grant, indicated place of birth, Puerto Rico. Yes, Your Honor.
I'm trying to figure out why self-serving statements by a petitioner to the police indicating, that he's not unlawfully here would be considered reliable.
Well, they were presented as evidence by the government, the FBI reports, the police report, and the Chicago police record. We also presented documents, the birth certificates of his son John and his daughter Jessica, both indicating that the petitioner was born
in Puerto Rico.
But all of that information is gotten from the petitioner. I mean, the people at the hospital don't know where he was born. They say, where were you born? And he says, Puerto Rico.
Or perhaps from the mother.
Or
perhaps from the mother.
Or.
Also, were they two documents from the Colombian consulate issued in 1976? The document that allowed him to enter Colombia as a visitor and to leave that country. Both issued by the Colombian consulate here in 1976 in Chicago, indicating his place of birth was Puerto Rico.
What, 76 that was?
1976, yes. Now, Your Honor, the respondent has resided in Chicago, according to the government's evidence, since at least the 1970s, and the record from the consulate. We submit it would be a great tragedy to tear him from his family. He's a loving father. He has a U.S. citizen son, John, who has now graduated from law school and admitted to practice before this court. His daughter, Jessica, has served in our military and now works for the Department of Homeland Security, Immigration and Customs Enforcement. He's a grandfather. He'll be 69 years of age later this year. Your Honor, but as much of a tragedy as it would be to deport him from the United States, we submit it would also be a violation of the international obligations of the United States to do so. We submit that his life and freedom would be in grave danger if he's deported to Colombia because of what we talked about at the motion to reopen and also in our brief. The super cartel in Colombia, when they become aware of him, and we believe that they will or easily can, we believe will seriously harm him because his daughter works for ICE. Because of the joint operation between ICE and the Colombian government, we believe that his life and freedom will be in grave danger. But we believe, Your Honor, and we submit that you do not need to reach that issue. We believe that you can simply find the government did not meet its burden of establishing first alienage. It did not do so. We believe you can also conclude that his right to due process was violated when he was denied the right to cross-examine the make of the I-213. And I'll reserve whatever time I have unless there are questions for rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Berg.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. Taya Tinla for the Attorney General, Eric Holder. May it please the Court. Your Honor, in this case, as Petitioner's Counsel rightly pointed out, the issue is whether the Form 2I-13, which is the record of deportable / inadmissible alien, sufficiently proves the petitioner's his removability, specifically his alienage. And the answer to that is yes, it did. The government did meet its burden, and petitioner has not been able to submit any evidence that would compel...
In order to counter the I-213, would the petitioner have had to either testify or provide an official birth certificate? Is there anything else that would have been sufficient?
Well, yes, Your Honor. Under this court's case law, under Barradas and Gutierrez-Verde, my understanding is that he would have to, in order to undermine the reliability of the 213, have to point to any instances where the information obtained in the I-213 was obtained under duress, through coercion, that there was a misstatement or mischaracterization of the evidence, in addition to the points you mentioned, for instance, him producing his birth certificate or some other piece of evidence which would without a doubt be probative as to his alienage.
But being in immigration custody would not have been sufficient.
Being in immigration custody, no, that would not. And he wasn't in custody. He was arrested, I believe, on August 20th, 2010, as the record indicates, and he was released the same day. So I don't believe he was ever detained, if that's what you mean by in custody.
Mm-hmm.
And him as a body being in immigration custody doesn't speak to his alienage. The 213, as Judge Dow pointed out, is a record which is used all the time in immigration court, and it's it memorializes the conversation or the interview between the DHS officer and the petitioner or other individual, and that's recorded on the 213.
The I-213 merely reflects the petitioner's statement as to his birthplace.
That's correct.
How is that different in kind than similar statements made to the FBI and the police by the petitioner? In other words, why should one be considered enough to establish his birthplace but the others are not sufficient to rebut it and create an issue of fact.
Well, Your Honor, in Gutierrez-Berdin and in Baradas, this court talks about the fact that the 213 is created with the specific intent to be probative as to alienage. It's a public record. It's created in the general or usual course of business, and because of the manner in which it's created, it's presumptively reliable, inherently trustworthy, unless a petitioner is able to point to the specific incidents of coercion, duress, etc., to undermine the reliability of the evidence. And in this case, petitioner pointing to
I don't feel you're answering my question.
Because, I apologize, Your Honor.
No. Maybe it's me. The petitioner has the I-213 shows what the petitioner's statement was.
Absolutely.
I was born in Puerto Rico.
If I may,
he tells the same thing to the FBI. I was born in Puerto Rico. He tells the same thing to the police. I was born in Puerto Rico. What?
Well, the difference, Your Honor, for me. So on page 162 of the record, the agency says, information such as place of birth for such documents is typically provided by the individual to whom they pertain rather than an independent or verified source. And this is in reference to the FBI rap sheet. In the same manner in which this court has looked at 213 to establish that they're presumptively reliable, is the same way I would look at the Form I-213 and say, looking at this FBI rap sheet, Your Honor, there's no indication how that information about him being born in Puerto Rico was there. Did he volunteer that information? We have no clue. Did he submit his birth certificate to the FBI? We have no clue. We have no idea how that information was obtained or is on the FBI rap sheet. Unlike in the 213, we know this court has said it's presumptively reliable because of the manner in which the interview is conducted. In this case, the petitioner, it says, voluntarily admitted that he's not a citizen of our national of the United States. And under Gutierrez-Berdin and this court's holding in Baradas, again, the court should rule or it should hold that the government met its burden to show alienage because petitioner has not claimed that any of those circumstances occurred. He didn't say that there was a misstatement or mischaracterization of Officer Yesenia in recording the 213. He hasn't said that he was under duress or coercion in providing that information.
Well, he did say that he'd like to interview the person who took the statement, though, right?
I'm sorry, could you...
The petitioner would like to have the person that took this statement, the I-213, interviewed, right?
That's correct, Your Honor. But again, under Baradas, there's no, under Malave and Gutierrez-Bedin, there's no automatic right to cross-examination.
Well, but how do you prove duress, coercion, mistake if you don't...
Well, he hasn't said... he's trying to undermine the credibility by hinting that he's from Puerto Rico or born in Puerto Rico, but he's not. In all those cases, the petitioners actually testified and said, this is the circumstance. The government obtained this information under duress.
Well, he submitted documents that said he was born in Puerto Rico.
Yes, Your Honor.
Is your point that he needs to... put a little more skin in the game? He can't just hint. He's got to be willing to swear under oath or something like that, that he isn't from Colombia or something, and take the consequences if he's caught lying? Is that your point?
I wouldn't go as far as saying that, Your Honor. The law clearly says that the burden is on the government to prove alienage, and I'm not contradicting that or saying
but,
that.
But if it's presumptively reliable, if this I-213 is presumptively reliable, what does the... person and Mr. Berg's client's position have to do to overcome that presumption, I guess, is the question. And is it enough just to submit some documents that say that Puerto Rico is another possible birthplace, or that is it enough to say that he wasn't represented by counsel? Is there something more he has to do to rebut that presumptively reliable standard?
Yes, Your Honor. It's what he's done in this case is not enough.
What is enough, then?
So it would be, for instance, like what Gutierrez-Berdin and Baradas say in terms of alleging that there was some mischaracterization or some irregularity in the conduct of the officer who was interviewing him in order to obtain the information for the 213, that there was maybe some mischaracterization, that that officer was maybe biased or malicious.
So how do you prove that unless he gets a chance to talk to the officer?
Well, yes, Your Honor, but he has every right to testify or not in court, and that option was given to him.
In other words, he wanted the officer to be called.
Right, but what my point is that he can't have the officer. There's no automatic right to a subpoena unless he shows that there has been some irregularity or some mischaracterization or misstatement, and so he can't just comment in the record. He says it over and over.
Well, how would he get that kind of discovery without... It just doesn't...
Well, Your Honor, under the case law, under the law of this court, the law specifically and clearly says that he would have to argue or allege that there was some... the information was obtained under duress, coercion, and in this case, he hasn't done anything.
Well, what if he submitted documents that said he was born in Puerto Rico?
Well, so then it goes to the reliability of the I-213 and whether it's presumptively reliable. And here the board looked at it and looked at the totality of the evidence and found that that information about him being born in Puerto Rico was information that's generally provided by the individual himself and not verified or confirmed by some outside source. And based on that, the immigration judge and the agency, rather, held that it didn't undermine the reliability of the 213. Petitioner was given the opportunity several times before the court. They continued the case several times, and the IJ advised him several occasions about his right to testify or cross-examine, and he didn't. He chose not to in this case. And so it's the government's position that he hasn't rebutted the presumptive reliability of the 213.
Would it have made a difference if he had said, okay, I'm just going to say this. I'm from Puerto Rico. This is what's in this police report is true. And therefore, I'm not a citizen of Colombia. Would that have made a difference?
Maybe, although I'd just like to clarify that's not the case on this record. So hypothetically, if he had, it would have probably most likely put the government on notice then that maybe they would have to shore up the information or bring in some additional information to substantiate or support the information in the 213. But that was not the case. The NTA, the first charge of the NTA asked, are you a United States citizen? He chose to neither admit or deny that allegation. He then applied for cancellation of removal. Again, I would be very surprised if an American citizen would apply for cancellation of removal. And he then went on to apply for asylum from Colombia. Again, in order to apply for asylum, you have to show that you're a refugee or refugees.
What about the record from 76, I think, that he was a visitor to Colombia?
Yes, Your Honor. So I would first like to point out that the board has not addressed that particular piece of evidence because petitioner did not raise it in his appeals brief to the board. And so the board hasn't addressed it. If the court would press me to respond and I wouldn't be making a Chenery violation, I would go as far as to say that the argument would be the same regarding the FBI rap sheet and that evidence because, again, there's no indication in the record how that information was obtained or the circumstances by which
What was the document itself?
It was a visa issued by the Colombian consulate, which he alleges he used to travel to Colombia.
But why would you ask to visit a country which you're already a citizen of?
Well, Your Honor, I also don't know why, if you were an American citizen, you would want to be in immigration court and you wouldn't claim or affirmatively state that you are a U.S. citizen. Gutierrez-Berdin cites to Bilakomsky, a 1920-something Supreme Court case, which says there's no presumption of citizenship like there's a presumption of innocence in criminal court. If you're asking me frankly, that would clear up everything. A U.S. citizen cannot be in immigration court, and so if he'd said that, then that would change everything. But the record does not. That wasn't the record before the immigration judge and the board, and so that was the reason why the board made that finding. Just to respond to petitioner's other points, In terms of the petitioner's application for cancellation of removal and the fact that he's claiming to be prima facie eligible for asylum for Colombia, he is basing this on his daughter being an ICE agent. The board found that Mr. Antia Pereira was not an ICE agent. His daughter had not been shown to be an undercover agent, and it was not alleged that she worked on the undercover investigation with the Colombian National Police. And so, based on the claim that he was making, he wasn't prima facie eligible. And there is absolutely no indication in the record that his daughter is actually an ICE agent. She didn't submit any letter. There's nothing in the record showing that she's an employee of ICE. And I believe that is all. And so, in conclusion, I would just say that because Mr. Petitioner Antia Pereira failed to identify any evidence that would compel a conclusion contrary to the one reached by the agency, and he had a full and fair hearing before the agency, the court should deny the petition for review.
Thank you, counsel.
Counsel, thank you, Your Honors. Several quick points, if I may. First, the respondent has conceded that the government had the burden to establish alienage. That's what the regulations provide, is the government must first establish alienage. We submit they did not do so. As to the very last point she made about nothing in the record about Jessica Antia being an ICE agent, there are two affidavits that she is, one from the petitioner, one from John, our son, who is now a member of this court. As to Malawi, the counsel spoke of Malawi, this court's decision from 2010. In that, this court looked to the statute, which said that an alien has the right, or a person in proceedings has the right, to cross-examine witnesses against him or her. And what the court held, what Judge Easterbrook held in his opinion, is that that's true whether the testimony comes in orally or in writing. The testimony here is the testimony of Yesenia Ochoa, who said that he said something. It's hearsay on top of hearsay. And so we believe, as this court I think should hold, is that he had the right to cross-examine Ms. Ochoa. Now, as to the CPD documents and the FBI documents, those were presented by the government at the hearing. They were using those to establish he had been convicted of crimes. Those documents also said that he was born in Puerto Rico. As to his fear of return, we believe that it is a well-founded, palpable fear that he will be in grave danger if he's deported to Colombia. As to whether he is a citizen of the United States or citizen of Colombia, at the outset of this case, it was the government's burden to prove that he was not a citizen, not his burden to show that he was anything else. We thank you very much, Your Honor. We ask that you grant this petition and direct that the Board of Immigration Appeals terminate proceedings because the government simply did not meet its burden. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Berg. Thanks to both counsel. Case is taken under advisement.